searching for a heart that will love him. Longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. And longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me with your all.
Listeners and my Run for Christ Ministries family, it is Saturday, and it is a blessed Saturday because we have lived to see it, and God is intending to use us in it. So with this day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad. And hope you're ready to go to school, because we're about to go in deeper into our study on the kingdom and being able to truly not just know what we believe, but why we believe it. And one of the things we do believe is that God is in control. So with that, let us pray. Father, this morning we thank you for the blessed privilege to be able to call you Father, knowing that you have drawn us into your family. You have restored us and redeemed us through the precious sacrifice of Jesus. And now, even right now, you have given us your Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us into all truth, Lord. So this morning, as we look at the world, not as you intended, but the way it turned out, we hope to see that ultimately, and we know according to your word, your kingdom is not only here, but will come. And one day, everything will be made right in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, good people.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right. Hope you're ready. You got your sheets, your new one. Everybody, we should be on part two of the kingdom, and not just saying God is in control, but understanding that God truly is in control. All right. With that, I want us to go to Acts chapter 17. It's not on your sheet, but sometimes Holy Spirit is, in football term, calls an audible. And so something he showed me this morning, and we're going to look at it together. Acts chapter 17, we've read these verses before. They are very common. And I want somebody to read Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 27.
He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples. And you said, what was the other one?
Through 27.
Okay. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Though he is not far from any one of us. Though he is not far from any one of us. Amen. I'm sorry, I didn't read it right.
All right. Could you go back and read verses 25 and 26 too?
I sure will. 25. Okay. And human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything. And he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries.
Amen.
All right, thank you. So
yes.
So we see from Paul and his discussion here that he is establishing the fact that who made the worlds?
God
did. Who established the boundaries of the worlds?
He did as well.
God did as well. And what is the purpose of him creating everything and establishing its boundaries?
So I would say so he would have control of everything.
It
would be brought under his rule.
For the
God did this so that men would seek him. And perhaps reach out to him and find him.
Yep. Paul gives us the answer right there. He said, God did it so that man would seek him and reach out to him. Remember that separation that took place in the garden. Everybody is searching for God. Everybody. Even the people that say there is no God. They still have religion because they believe there is no God, even though everything about them says there is a God. But in this passage, I wanted it because that word it shows up that we've been talking about. Nations. God created, and from one man came every single nation. So we know from our studies so far that nations, in the beginning, God created a what?
The heavens and the earth.
Okay, but he created in the beginning as far as people, created a wife. Male and a female in relationship with him. Then they had children. And then they had children. Call them what?
Family.
God created family. And we know through over time the families grew and divided. And then at one point God changed the language and everybody was still family, even though they had different languages, living in different regions, different cultures, developed from those regions. And the main purpose was, is what God intended was that mankind would flourish. The words, when we see the phrase to be fruitful and multiply, it means to flourish, to produce, to create, to use nature to create. So we know that our modern-day medicine, especially the pharmaceutical industry, has in it a creation that God created. A lot of stuff starts with a basic root or an herb or something that had medicinal purposes. Unfortunately, because mankind also has another bent, most of the medicines we have a minute amount of that herb in it anymore. They add all these different ingredients to it to give it shelf life, and then you end up having to take three times as much of it as if you would have just took the original. Sidebar, back to the show. So God created, but man was given creativity to use things in nature to create. But it was supposed to all be for flourishing, so that other people could, everybody could benefit. And we know because of sin that entered in, evil entered into the picture, that flourishing turned into oppression, slavery, domination, violence, and all these other things that we have. So we've been studying about empires. And if somebody would, you have your sheet with your definitions, read the definition of an empire.
A major political unit which the metropolis or single sovereign authority exercises control over a territory of great extent or several territories or people through formal annexations or various forms of informal domination. Expanded definition, a region or kingdom which exercises control over large areas or territories and or people through separation or assimilation. Amen.
Thank you. All right. And so I expanded our definition so that it would be a little more clear. I hope it wouldn't be so wordy and heady. So the expanded definition is the region or kingdom that we're going to look at. God created, though, according to what we just read in Acts 17, he created what from man? How many? He created what?
I'm not understanding the question.
What did God create from one man?
Nation.
Every nation.
Every nation.
Family.
Yeah. And family. Family that morphed into nations. So God created nations. Am I correct? According to the word. Did God create empires?
No. Oh.
No. Empire is political.
Oh. It's a manifestation. It's something that came out of evil.
Mm-hmm.
So empires are a manifestation of evil. Let's get into the, let me just get into our little review. There were many empires, by the way. We're just highlighting some of the major ones. There were the Hittites had an empire, the Edomites had, there were many empires. But the major ones that had a big influence in our biblical story were Egypt, of course. Egypt gained empirical status through famine. Remember the story of Joseph in Genesis? And Israel's family moved into that region. And we're told between Exodus 1, 8 through 22, because of their increased multiplying, the ruler of Egypt, who didn't know Joseph, perceived them to be a threat, and he enslaved them and subjugated them to forced labor. Again, not the will of God, because that's not what he intended. So we know the Egyptian empire, God pretty much, he crippled them greatly at for what they did to Israel. And they still exist throughout Scripture as you read through the Old Testament, but they never are at the empirical level, because now they've been knocked off and replaced by other empires. And then we studied the Assyrian Empire, which they gained their empirical power through military strength and might, through violence. As I said, these are the people who would impale people, and they were like the early creators of crucifixion, the more rugged form of crucifixion. They were very violent. But they were ultimately, according to, we read through the book of Nahum last week, ultimately destroyed because of they repented, and then they went back to their old ways, and God ultimately destroyed them through the nation of Babylon. So the next empire we're about to look at is Babylon. And Babylon is considered to be the greatest world empire, even though Rome said they are. They all say they're the greatest. Sounds like today. They're the greatest nation in the world, you know. But Babylon, as we look at it, is kind of the standard, the gold standard, if you would, of nations. So somebody read about the Empire of Babylon, or number three on your sheet.
Gained empirical empirical status through its military strength and dominance as well. Also through culture, architecture, and education.
All right. So Babylon, every empire kind of adds a dimension or bring, because these are cultures. So they bring their culture to their dominance and their military strength. Babylon was so intriguing that there are actually pieces from that had been excavated from Babylon that are in museums around the world. Hitler actually stole the gates of Ishtar, which were the Babylonian gates, and he took them because he was into voodoo and collecting a whole bunch of trinkets. Anyway, so Babylon is known for its empirical dominance. All right, so now let's get into the text. Daniel chapter 1. I'm going to need somebody to read Daniel chapter 1.
Okay. Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign, Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Aspenas, chief of court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them the daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those, some were from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission to defile himself, to permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord, the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearances with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to do this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus.
All right. Thank you. Okay. So now, what we're focusing on is the empire of Babylon. When Nebuchadnezzar seized Jerusalem, who did he take into captivity specifically?
Good-looking young men that are strong and healthy.
So he took the healthy, young, strong men. Who else did he take?
The young other noble family.
Nobles. So that means he took the king and his family into captivity, right?
Oh, yes, King Ashpenaz.
So we got the king, and then we have some of his children. And then, so we have, what group or what tribe were the king's kids from, the king and his children from? Verse 6.
Judah.
The tribe of Judah. What's significant about the tribe of Judah?
That's the tribe that Jesus came from.
This is just for our benefit to understanding how important and impactful this event was. The tribe, the king's noble, this is the line of this. These kings are coming from the line of Judah. And because of that, they're all part of the Davidic line, David's line. Yes, they're part of the ancestry of Jesus. This is big. This is the messianic line that has been interfered with. Because if you're going to run an empire, who are you going to deal with?
King. The cream of the crop.
The king. You're going after the king of the crop, the cream of the crop. You're going after the best of the best, and the best of the best will definitely be royalty. And if you're the enemy of God, who are you going to attack or try to destroy?
God's people.
The king's kids, right? The king's line.
The seed.
Yeah, you're going to try to destroy the king. So what am I pointing out? Empire is not of God. Empire is not of God because it's seeking to just underneath, behind every empire, and I wish I could. I'm having trouble finding the deities behind because they have multiple names. But at one reading, I read that Babylon like has 12 different gods, and so for every time there's a god, there's spiritual entities behind those gods. So this is a bigger. This is a double layered battle that's going on here. You'll see it as we continue to go on the lessons. I'm putting it out there. Please follow with me. All right. So now question two. So when the king brought, and I love the fact that this translation says Daniel, Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael, uses their Hebrew names. But we know what happened when they got to Babylon. What did they do? They changed their what?
Names.
They changed their names.
They gave them Babylonian names. Yep. So how did they try to gain control over these young men?
With the food.
They started with their diet. They wanted to change their diet.
They wanted to change their diet because, you know, they have the law that gives them provision of what they can and cannot eat. No unclean thing, you know, creepy crawly things, scaly things, and definitely no pork, you know, split hoof things. So they try to change their diet. So they changed their names. They changed their diet. So ultimately they were trying to change their what?
Their lifestyle. Yeah.
Okay.
Their God.
They're
I was going to say their character to be more like them.
So your character, your name, your food, the way you look and dress, what is that part of your what?
Personality.
Your identity.
Somebody said it. Your identity is part of it, but it's somebody else said another word.
Your makeup.
Culture.
Go. Yes, your culture. Your culture, because remember, this is a nation of people that had been brought into captivity. They have their own language. They have their own culture. And Babylon, the king, when he brought them into Babylon, he caused them to assimilate. I believe I gave y'all the definition of the word assimilate somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Can somebody read it?
The absorption and integration of people, ideas, or culture into a wider society or culture.
All right. So how did the king gain control over them? Through what?
Assimilation.
Assimilation. This is a known technique, and we're going to see it even greater when we get to nations that come after Babylon. They all do this. The Greeks and the Romans became masters at it, especially the Greeks. So assimilation. So and again, it messes with. Have we all okay? We can come to 19th century, 18th century, 19th century. Have we seen this happen again? We're an empire. Assimilate the people.
Sure. Slavery.
Slavery. Okay, and then you have a European empire that comes over Spain and England to come over to the Americas, and there were a people, a culture, a nation of people here, and they tried to assimilate them, and when they couldn't, they enslaved them as well or annihilated another group. Assimilation. This is not God's plan. Dr. Eric Mason said something this morning, and I wrote it down. He said God created boundaries for everyone, culture, language. So he created nations. And in creating nations, when you erase the boundaries, you erase divine locales, which God ordained. So when you take away culture, you take away Imago Dei. So what he was saying was, because God created nations, when you make other nations assimilate into another nation, when you assimilate another nation, you take away the very thing that made them like God.
Whoa.
And as you all said, your identity. Because God, out of one man, he created every nation, but every nation is unique. Every nation is intended to flourish in their uniqueness. So here we have Daniel, Azariah, Ananias, and Mishael, brought into Babylon, and they're trying to be forced into assimilation. But we know that these four young men did not do what?
They did not assimilate to that environment.
They did not assimilate. They didn't take the food, we know. They did not purpose to do the things that would defile them, that would separate them from their God. And for those of us that know the story of Daniel, we know this is a standard. This is a hallmark between the three Hebrew boys and Daniel. No matter how much they rose in the Babylonian culture and in the Babylonian kingdom, they did not defile themselves when it came to God. All right. So, get to chapter 2. Because of their failure, and this is a good lesson for us to kind of learn, a little side lesson, because they refused to defile themselves, separate themselves from their God, what did God do for them? In
he
chapter
showed
one.
Them favor.
Showed them favor. Remember? They're not eating the king's diet, but how did they look?
They looked
10 times better.
They weren't becoming Babylonians, but how did they perform when it came to all the tests that were given to them?
10 times
they were successful.
They were better. They were better.
Okay.
So that's our little side lesson, if nothing else for today, is that if you don't leave your God, even when you're in captivity, even when you're in exile, stay with who?
They were blessed.
They were above everyone else because they never left their God, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now, we know according to chapter 2, and again, if you notice your paper, we're not reading all of it, but some of us are familiar with the story. If you're not, take the time and go read Daniel, especially the first 5 chapters. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And Nebuchadnezzar plays a game. He says, I had a dream, but I'm not telling y'all what the dream is. You tell me what the dream is in interpretation. That's like somebody saying, I got a phone number. I'm not telling you what it is, but I want you to call me. Yeah, I'm glad you laughed. That's a trap. That's a trap. And basically, he's frustrated with his magicians and his Miss Cleo type people. Yeah, astrologers and all these folks. So somebody we're going to pick up in chapter 2 because his threat is, if y'all can't interpret my dream, I'm killing all of y'all. And the head of the eunuchs goes and they let Daniel know what's going on. And then Daniel goes before his God and he prays. And we pick up in Daniel chapter 2, somebody read verse 19. I know on your paper it says 24. Pick up at verse 19 just because I like Daniel's prayer. And go from 19 to 33.
Okay, I'll read it. It says, that night the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel prayed the God of heaven. He said, praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. He reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in darkness, though he is surrounded by light. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors, for you have given me wisdom and strength. You have told me what we asked of you and revealed to us what the king demanded. Daniel interprets the dream. Then Daniel went to see Arioch, whom the king had ordered to execute the wise men of Babylon. Daniel said to him, don't kill the wise men. Take me to the king, and I will tell him the meaning of his dream. Arioch quickly took Daniel to the king and said, I have found one of the captives from Judah who will tell the king the meaning of his dream. The king said to Daniel, also known as Belshazzar, is this true? Can you tell me what dreams was, can you tell me what my dream was and what it means? Daniel replied, there is no wise man, enchanters, musicians, or fortune tellers who can reveal the king's secret. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the future. Now I will tell you your dreams and the visions you saw as you lay on your bed. So while your majesty was sleeping, you dreamed about coming events. He who reveals secrets has shown you what is going to happen. And it is not because I am wiser than anyone else that I know the secret of your dream, but because God wants you to understand
what was in your heart. In your vision, your majesty, you saw standing before you a huge, shining statue of a man. It was a frightening sight. The head of the statue was made of fine gold. Its chest and arms were silver. Its belly and thighs were bronze. His legs were iron, and his feet were a combination of iron and baked clay. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So what did Nebuchadnezzar see in his dream?
The statue.
All right. And if you have your paper, you have a artist's rendering of a statue, of the statue he saw, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I do.
Now, if you have color ink, you got the colors. If you don't, it's okay. We're going to go through the statue anyway, so you'll know what colors it is. All right. So now, he sees this statue in his dream. Somebody read verses 34 through 36, and let's find out what happens to this statue.
As you watch, a rock was cut from a mountain, but not by human hands. It struck the feet of iron and clay, smashing them to bits. The whole statue was crushed into small pieces of iron, clay, bronze, silver, and gold. Then the wind blew them away without a trace, like chaff on a threshing floor. But the rock that knocked the statue down became a great mountain that covered the whole earth. Amen?
Wow.
Amen. All right. So now, what happened to the statue?
It was crushed in the small pieces.
It was destroyed.
Okay, it was destroyed. Now, for some of my ladies that are listening that are in my Saturday class, I don't want you to give it away yet as to the rock. We're going to get to the interpretation. But, so a rock came and destroyed the entire statue. Where did the rock come from?
A rock or a piece of mountain. A cut from a mountain.
All right. Mm-hmm. But specifically, it says something special about this rock came out of the mountain.
Oh. It said it was not cut by human hands. So it takes a rock.
So this rock that comes out is not cut from human hands. Because, you know, back in their day, not like they would hew stones. This is part of what Jesus would do, actually. They would go to a place, a mound, a mountain, and they would cut out a piece of rock, and then they would chisel it and form it to make cornerstones and different pieces. So this rock that's hewn out, humans don't do it. Someone supernatural does it. All right, I'm holding that. Let's keep going. So now we're on question 5. So remember, this rock totally destroys the statue. It not only breaks it into pieces, but what does it also do?
It just disappears. I mean, it blows away.
Okay, but we know pieces of rock can't blow away unless they're ground down, right? So not only does it break it apart, it grinds it down into powder.
Oh, okay.
It says so that it'll be like chaff from a threshing floor in the summer. Chaff is when they sift wheat, and they throw the wheat kernels fall down, but the other stuff blows away. So this rock is not only tears it apart, it grinds it down. And then what does it say about that rock? The last sentence in verse 34, 35.
That knocked the statue down became a great mountain that covered the whole earth.
All right. Keep that in your mind as we go forward. Now, somebody read verses 37 through 43, and let's go through this statue.
It reads as follows. Your Majesty, you are the greatest of kings. The God of heaven has given you sovereignty, power, strength, and honor. He has made you the ruler over all the inhabited world and has put even the wild animals and birds under your control. You are the head of gold. But after your kingdom comes to an end, another kingdom inferior to yours will rise to take your place. After that kingdom has fallen, yet a third kingdom, represented by bronze, will rise to rule the world. Following that kingdom, there will be a fourth one, as strong as iron. That kingdom will smash and crush all previous empires, just as iron smashes and crushes everything it strikes. The feet and toes you saw were a combination of iron and baked clay, showing that this kingdom will be divided. Like iron mixed with clay, it will have some of the strength of iron. But while some parts of it will be as strong as iron, other parts will be as weak as clay. A mixture of iron and clay also shows that these kingdoms will try to strengthen themselves by forming alliances with each other through intermarriage, but they will not hold together, just as iron and clay do not mix. During the reigns of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. It will crush all these kingdoms into nothingness, and it will stand forever. Amen.
Amen. And if you're a highlighter of your Bible, I wish you would highlight verse 44, just because it's so profound. Okay. So now, who is the head of gold, and what has God given to him?
King Nebuchadnezzar is the head. So that would be Babylon.
All right. What did God give to him?
Sovereignty, power, strength, and honor.
All right. And if you look at verse 38 there, it says something else, and the language sounds familiar, or it should sound familiar. In verse 38, it says that in your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them, and that you are the head of gold. What does that language sound like?
Sounds like man.
Back in where?
Genesis.
Back in Genesis. It sounds like the creation. So God gave Nebuchadnezzar rulership. He gave the same authority that he gave man in the beginning. God has never taken our authority from us. We've surrendered it by submitting to evil. But God has never changed his mind. Remember, his kingdom, as it is intended in the beginning. So he intended for Nebuchadnezzar to rule during this time, and that under Nebuchadnezzar, things would flourish. How are Daniel, Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael doing in Babylon, even though they're in exile, in captivity? Are they flourishing?
Yes.
Yes. Let's see. Here's a Bible question. What did God tell when he, through the prophet Jeremiah, told them about their 70 years of captivity? He told them to do something when they went into captivity. What did he tell the people of Judah to do?
Plant vineyards?
Yes. Plant vineyards, build homes, let your kids get married, to flourish, even though they're in captivity, even though they're in a strange land. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Even though we're in a strange land in captivity, what does he intend for us to do? Flourish. Flourish. I see I'm going somewhere with all these lessons, I hope. All right. So God gave Nebuchadnezzar this was Nebuchadnezzar. And specifically it's Nebuchadnezzar, because y'all, if you read the story, the next guys don't do so well. All right. So now let's go to the second empire, or the second part of our statue. The second part of the chest and arms, what are they made of, and how does it compare to Babylon?
Inferior.
Okay. And what is it made of?
Silver.
Silver. All right. We know on the standard, silver is inferior to gold as far as our market value, correct?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yes. All right. So we have silver. So he's saying that the next kingdom, the next empire or empires that come are going to be lesser. They're not going to be as dominant as Babylon. So as I said earlier, Babylon is the gold standard. It is going to be the strongest, the greatest. If you just go look and Google, like, different pictures of Babylon in its heyday, I mean, Babylon was known for its hanging gardens and just the big wide gates that were impenetrable, and the city walls, they say a certain number of chariots could ride along the city walls. Babylon was just gorgeous, the city, and massive in its scope of what it controlled. It influenced everybody and everything around it. And so the next one, silver, the chest and arms are going to be inferior. All right, question 7. What's the third empire, the belly and the thighs? What are they made of, and what will they do?
Bronze.
All right. And what about bronze? What about this kingdom? Bronze.
It will rise.
Well,
it'll
rise.
Place in the world.
Mm-hmm. It'll do what? I'm sorry. Truck going down the street.
Okay, rise. Will rise and rule the world.
It will rise and rule over the whole earth. In other words, the whole known earth. So, but we know, are silver and bronze on the same era? Are they worth the same value?
No.
No. Bronze is less.
Silver worth more.
Silver's worth more. So, less value. We're noticing we're decreasing in value, aren't we?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, as we work now. But yet, and even though this bronze is less in value, it says that they will rule over the whole earth. There means their influence is going to extend over the whole earth. When we get to the breakdown next week of these empires, you'll see the influence that was had by them, because the statue comes into real play real quick. All right, question 8. What will the fourth empire, the legs and the feet, be made of, and what will it do, and what will it be like? So there's like 3 questions. So what?
Strong design.
Iron
and clay.
Iron, mm-hmm. And then the feet are made of what?
Clay.
All of
kingdom. No, it's mixed with clay.
Combination of iron and big clay. Mm-hmm.
Let's kind of look at it. It's a mixed kingdom, but the legs are made first.
Is it
first
me
point.
Or does somebody need to mute?
The legs were made of iron. Yeah.
Other
feet in combination of iron baked with clay. Okay.
Okay, so now we got the legs that are made of iron, and then
right.
The legs and the feet, but the toes, it says, are mixed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what will this kingdom do?
It will try to form alliances with.
Before we get to that.
Okay.
It
will be divided.
It'll be a divided kingdom.
Oh, divided? Okay. Oh, yeah.
So before even we get to the divided kingdom, what else would it do? Look at the end of verse 40. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. So this kingdom will be a destroyer as well. And it's going to break all the others. So whatever kingdoms are around, when this kingdom comes around, it's going to break. But this kingdom will splinter. It will be end up being divided. So what happens when you divide anything?
You
fall.
Okay. Somebody went Bible. A house divided against itself?
Can't stand.
And then it talks about the feet, that the toes being made of iron and clay. Will they work together?
No, they
don't mix. So these are going to be mixed kingdoms, mixed empires, and they're not going to be able to withstand. Because remember, nations, cultures, languages, people, when you try to come together on your own.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can't. You're weaker. It's because you have to give up part of your own identity, your own imago Dei. Now, this is not talking about mixed marriages and stuff, but we're all human. But and there were mixed marriages all throughout all of the nations and all of the tribes. I was talking, I think, to Nicole the other day, and we were just talking about how even Joseph, who was Joseph back in the Genesis, Jacob's son, who was he married to? What nation did his wife come from?
Egypt.
But yet Ephraim and Manasseh are tribes of Israel, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yes. So did Joseph have a mixed marriage?
Right. I was lost about that Joseph in Egypt, but then I just thought about it, right? That's where he was at when he got it right.
So it's not talking about mixed human. It's talking about mixed nations, the autonomy of nations, cultures, languages. It's a beautiful thing. It's a community. God is good with it. But when you get an empire involved, an empire tries to make all of these nations and kingdoms submit through oppression and force to one nation. Like Daniel, here they are. They're in Babylon. They want them to eat the Babylonian food. They teach them the Babylonian languages. They dress them as Babylonians. They change a lot of things, which we'd have to go into a deeper study of Daniel to talk about. They assimilate them, but it doesn't hold. Because they can never completely become Babylonians because they don't worship their twin. They don't worship Marduk and their gods. They worship the one true living God. But yet they live amongst them. Anyway, that was another sad lesson that we weren't even supposed to get into. So this last one is this last fourth one. All right. What happens in verses, somebody read verses 44 and 45 and we'll get out of here. What happens to those empires according to the dream? Verses 44 and 45. Again.
During the reign of those kings.
During the reign of those kings,
the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. It will crush all these kingdoms into nothingness. And it will stand forever. That is the meaning of the rock cut from the mountain, though not by human hands.
that crushed two pieces. So we have crushed two pieces, the statue of iron, bronze, clay, silver, and gold. The great God was showing the king what will happen in the future. The dream is true, and its meaning is certain. Amen.
All right. So what's going to happen to all these kingdoms or empires?
We'll be done.
They're going to be destroyed and conquered.
They're going to be done, yeah.
By
so,
who?
The rock.
By the rock, which was not cut by human hand. Which, so I feel that that's Jesus.
You know what? It's always that one student in class who is just right there already seeing forward. Yes, you are absolutely right. The rock that breaks off, that is broken off by human hands, non-human hands, is coming to set up a kingdom that will be forever and ever. And yes, who is that?
Jesus.
Jesus, God's kingdom, but under whose rule?
Jesus.
What have we been studying about? The kingdom?
You said, who is it? Or who is? Because I thought
kingdom?
It was God.
Isn't Jesus God?
Yeah, well,
okay. I know. Our theology, how we speak about God, it gets so confused. When you say Jesus and you say God, they're not going, no, he wasn't talking about me. they're God. Jesus
all
is
one.
God, Holy Spirit is God, Father is God.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we know that the Father has given the kingdoms of this world to who? His Son.
Yes.
He's made him a kingdom. He's made him the king, so he rules. It's his God's kingdom, but through Jesus Christ. It's okay. We'll get deeper into this as we go forward, but I'm just trying to lay the foundations of understanding why when we get to Jesus in Matthew, where he repeatedly talks about the kingdom, that we understand that empires dominating, controlling, taking over, making people assimilate, that was never the will of God. God intended for all humanity to flourish according to every tribe, every nation, because as you see in the end, as it ends up, every tribe and every nation is present before God, represented before God, but every empire is destroyed. And
okay.
You read through Revelation, you see that illusion of Babylon, oh Babylon the great is fallen. Babylon is the word or the name that is given to empirical rule, empires. They're not the will of God.
Okay.
Everybody, one size does not fit all in God's kingdom. But there is only one king over God's kingdom, and his name is
Jesus.
That's all right. It's okay to kiss the sun. All right. Thank y'all. Y'all did great today. I appreciate you. Let me pray so Kathy can take over. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that we know our soon coming king will come and set all things right. And we have it according to your word that every empire in this world will be laid to dust. No more tyrannical rule, no more crazy folks, no more satanic onslaughts, but the true king. But right now, while we're in exile, Father, help us to live in your kingdom, under your rule.
Amen.
We praise you and thank you. In his name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen. Yes, right. And you know, we appreciate you, Sister Janice. You have laid the foundation, and we just can't wait to hear more next week. Good lesson, as always, and we just thank you, and just have a beautiful day.
All right, thank you.
Okay, and thank everybody for participating as well. All right, you guys know what to do. Get your coffee, your tea, your cookies, your crumpets, and maybe a piece of Irma's apple pie. And after this selection, we will start our morning service. Amen.
I'm so confused.
don't wanna think. I may never understand that my broken heart is a part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I got is hurt and these four words.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly. We ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. And so, as always, we will start out with our proclamation scripture and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own deaconess, Sister Mary Tate. Good morning, and thank you for being with us.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
You all set for the?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay. All righty. Here we go. This is our proclamation and why we are here. We proclaim that Jesus, the King, preexisted as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promise to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again to be as the final judge to rule. Our scripture reading is Matthew 6:25-34, do not worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to offer you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Deaconess Mary Tate. You know we appreciate you, and have a beautiful day.
You do the same.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Hey, take it away, Pastor O.
Tell him, yes, I'm grateful. Come in, Dave Hollister. Oh, yeah. I don't know where to start, Jesus. God, I could have been dead and gone, but you thought so different. You decided to save me. Oh, and I'm grateful, Lord. Oh, and I'm grateful, yeah. I could have been down and out, but you saved me, Lord. Lord, from my heart I love you, for setting me free, for washing me clean, oh, for loving me, Lord. Yeah,
my heart. We pour our love on you like oil. We want to tell you we love you. We sing this song to you, Jesus. We want to tell you you're our everything. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus, because you first loved us. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore.
Lift your worship.
Wanna be where you are.
Oh, I gotta be. takes just to see you, to behold you as my King. I want to be where you are. Peace is where you are. Joy is where you are. And love is who you are. Woo! Want to be where you are. Somebody make that your prayer in this moment. Gotta be where you are. Everything I need is where you are.
Yes, yes. First, we were grateful, grateful, grateful. And then, Jesus, we love you. And then, for your glory, for your glory. Pastor O, you always take us there. High praise. And we just thank you. We thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged for your glory. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following the selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Deacon Sir Charles Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. So meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our very own Deacon Charles Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
God provides, so why do I worry about my life? When you come to my rescue 1,000 times, every other voice it is a lie. God provides, God provides in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, He multiplies. Just when I feel He won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything you thought you knew. Now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive on just things I see, and my feelings can't control my destiny. See, God, I only want what you believe for me. So tonight, no more need to fight. Ooh, watch God provide. Yeah, He will provide before your eyes. Oh, He will, He will. Oh, Close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide.
Deacon Sir Charles Pitt, you are on.
Good morning.
You are on.
Okay, are we on now?
Good morning. You are on, Sir Charles.
Okay, I'm
sorry. Deacon Sir Charles,
okay.
Pitt, you are on. Thank you.
All right. Good morning. You know, if you're listening to my voice right now, you know where we at. We're in the presence of the true and living God. That song that God provides. That's not just a song. I need you to know that God provides. Of course, Kathy likes to hear about the scapegoat, and I enjoy talking about him too.
I sure do.
Jesus went to the cross a long time ago on our behalf. But in the Old Testament, before Jesus came down as a person, God himself, they would take a goat, and the priest would take the goat and place the sins of all the people into the goat, and they would have somebody walk the goat off into the desert. Well, sometimes the goat would come back. So when the goat came back, they would have that person take the goat back out again, and they would walk him off a cliff to make sure that he didn't return. Whatever it is that you're taking to the Lord right now, I need you to take it to him and leave it with him. Don't go back and pick it up. You know, I heard an analogy once about taking your trash out to the street for the garbage man, and we don't go back and bring it back into the house. But where I need you to understand more than anything is, like I mentioned, our Lord and Savior Jesus. He's alive and well, sitting on the right-hand side of the Father, hearing everything that you're taking to him right now. The one thing that we have to come to know is that there's nothing that goes on in our lives, present or future, that God doesn't know about. So take it to the Lord. Leave it with the Lord. And trust and believe that he's going to do what he's going to do about it. Lord God, our Father, I thank you first and most of all, Lord, for providing and giving us the opportunity to come to you. To be able, like you tell us to cast all our cares on you. But you also tell us the reason to do that is because you care for us. Father, you said that you would never leave us nor forsake us. You say you know the hairs on our heads because you counted every one of them. Father, you said when we go through deep waters in Isaiah that you'd be with us. But you've also told us not to worry, not to worry about anything, you know, because we got to come to understand that what you say you're going to do, and you've proven it from the beginning of time all the way up to now. Father, you put time in place just for us. You didn't need time. You didn't need space. You didn't need all of that. Everything that we have, and Father, I guess what I'm getting at is that you provided everything we've needed from birth till we come to be with you. And once again, Lord, that provision, you provided us a way so that we, when we leave these lives, when we leave this earth, we'll be able to come and spend eternity with you. But like I say, Father, you told us not to worry. But there have been some things that have kept us up and that we worry about. Even though you tell us not to do it, Father, there's not a person that's walking around on this earth can ever say that they've done everything that you said do. Each and every one of us, Father, has had times where we've had to get on our knees and just say, Lord, help. But the great part about it, Father, is we know that all through time, everybody that we read about in the Bible, Father, everybody that we've heard about that come to know you, they've come to understand, too, that at times there were going to be things that would go wrong. You said that we would have trials and tribulations. You said that things was going to happen. But you also told us to be of good cheer because you've overcome everything. And, Father, for that, we thank you. But, Father, right now you also told us to confess our sins. You told us to come to you and tell you what's going on. And even though you know everything about us, Father, we still sometimes seem to think that we can slide something by you, Father. But even then, you're not harsh with us. You don't treat us like the world would treat us. Because you look at us as your children and as your loving children. I love it when I think about the fact, Father, that we've been adopted into your family. Just what Jesus did for us on the cross. And by us coming to you and accepting his son, your son, our Savior, as our Lord and Savior, Father, we've been adopted into a family that has existed through all the ages. We can call ourselves your children. And not just children, Father, joint heirs with our Lord and Savior. You know, in John chapter 17, Father, Jesus prayed for us, for the future believers. And Father, right now, if there's one out there that doesn't believe in you, but if they're listening to this, Father, right now, if they're sitting in this place right now, they've come to the realization that they've gotten to their wit's end. They've gotten to a place now where whatever they were doing or whatever was coming down on them or whatever it was taking them out, they could do absolutely nothing about it. And they finally came to realize, and maybe they, I hope and pray, Father, just be still and know that you are God. Father, we pray for that one that still rejects you. We really do right now. That says you don't exist. But Father, the great part about it, if you go outside and you look at the sun, and if you go outside at night and you look at the moon and you see the stars, how can people say that you don't exist? Because no man did that. No man has ever duplicated it. Everything that you do, that many times as people try to copy it, Father, there's no way that they can put it in place. And even when we lay down at night to sleep, Father, there's a period of time where we don't have any ideas to what's going on, but you watch over us. And for that, we thank you. So, Father, right now, once again, if there's any sin that stands between us and you, we confess it. We're sorry. We're sorry. And that's the great part about you, Father. All we have to do is come to you and say, we're sorry. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for the wrong that we've done. So, Father, right now what we're doing is when we come to this place, like I said, we've got to our wits' end about some things, Father. We've messed up once again. But, you know we've been messing up since the beginning of creation, all the way back to the garden, Father. You told us not to do it, and we did it anyway. But the great part about it is John 1:9 tells us if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But, Father, we have really messed up in today's world, Father. There is more than enough here for everybody that's here, Father. But right now you got some people that's coming to you. You got your children in front of you where one person has hoarded, one person has kept, and the other person, and they've refused to give to those that's in need. But see, once again, I go back to that, don't worry, Father. Do what you're going to do. You see, Father, I know you got people everywhere. You got people everywhere, doctors, lawyers, and just us everyday people, everyday Christians, everyday believers, Father. Let it be. Put it on our hearts. If we see somebody in need, to attend to their need, it's possible. And if not, Father, send them in the direction where the need can be met. You tell us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And if we do that, Father, all the things that we need will be added unto us. See, it's all yours anyway, Lord. Just like I said about the hairs on our heads, you made us. Father, the great part about it is when we think about the fact, out of everything else that you made, you took time out from your busy schedule to bend down and take some dust and some clay and to form us. We were made in your image, Father, and we need to come to understand that. For the one that right now feels like this, that nobody cares and nobody loves and nobody, help them to see right now, Father, that you love them. And let it not be that they just have to see it. Let it be that we that know you, Father, that call ourselves your children, go to them and show them the same love that you poured out on us. You see, Father, it was love that made you do that for us. It's love that makes you do anything for us. So, Father, let it be that we just love like you love, Father. Not looking for anything in return, Father. Go out and do what you told us to do. You had 12 fellas that walked around with you, Father. One of them, of course, we know, dropped off to the side. But then again, too, Father, let it be that we just go out and be the way that you tell us to be, even here. Because, you see, Father, it's not a one of us, like I figured, that doesn't have anything going on in their life right now. But we know, too. That you said, like your servant wrote David himself, yea, though we walk through the valley of shadow of death, we will fear nothing at all, because you with us. You say your rod and your staff comforts us. That means that you're with us 24/7, Father. So we have to come to understand that. Father, right now, for the one that might be in financial straits or whatever situation is going on in their life right now, help them to understand, Father. Let it be, Father, that you go ahead and do what you're going to do. See, the great part about it, Father, is that I've come to understand, and we all know for all your children, that there's nothing that you won't do for your children. As parents and as grandparents, we've got that from you. But see, it's all about us doing what you tell us to do, Father. And the way that we find that out is to get into the words that you've given us. You've given us the guide. You've given us a book where we can go through it and we can read and hear everything it is and read and see everything that you mean for us to do. And that's your word, the Bible. But right now, Father, is somebody that really, really needs to see you, really, really needs to know you exist. And see, Father, you already know this. And even though we're praying about this right now, Father, you've already sent the angels to see about that. That's so wonderful, too, Father, like you talked about the angels. You send everybody that listens. Each and every one of us has one that hangs out with us all the time. That's their job. And they marvel at how you're so interested in us. They marvel at why you take so much time with us. And, Father, sometimes we ourselves, Martha, why do you even be bothered with us when you know we're just a bunch of bad kids sometimes? But then again, too, Father, it's out of love that you've done this for us. So, Father, let us respond in kind, not just to you, but to those that need, Father. Let us respond in kind, not just to you, but to those that need, and do the things that you tell us to do. Everything you said in your word was given to us to do. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you because not only we know that you don't just hear our prayer, but you answer this prayer. But let us be too, Father, that once again we just do what it is that you tell us to do. And let us be that light, Father, on the hill, the one that's not covered up, but the one that if anybody comes up to us, they'll be able to see you in us, Father. And once again, Father, for the one that's just wondering if you is there, show yourself to them right now, just like you've done for each and every one of us to believe in you. And let us be busy about the work that you've called us to do, Father. Lord, I love you. I don't love you anywhere near as much as you love me. And not anywhere near as you love us. You gave your son on our behalf to come down here from heaven. And he took the responsibility. And he did what you told us to do, told him to do. But then he went back to be with you, and he's on your right-hand side right now, interceding for each and every one of us. And thank you for your spirit that lives inside of each and every believer. But let us also do just what you've called us to do, Father. And that's to tell people about you, to meet the needs of somebody as possible. And if not, Father, to come to you and ask you, Lord, what should we do? Because like I said, you don't just hear our prayers, you answer our prayers. And you tell us to cast all our anxiety on you, cast all our cares on you, because you care for us. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God provides. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Power in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Deacon Sir Charles Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. You know we appreciate you, and have a wonderful day.
You are.
Amen. Love that scapegoat story. All right. Okay. Hey, I'm truly having a good time this morning and just enjoying this service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen? All right. Okay, it's time for the preach word, a message from God, the best part, icing on the cake, yummy. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is our very own man of God, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate. So let's prepare to receive our very own Associate Pastor Terrence Tate as he come in his own way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
If this life has anything to gain at all, I'll count a loss if I can't hear you, feel you, cause I need you. Can't walk this earth alone, I recognize I'm not my own. So before I fall, I need to hear you, feel you, as I live to make my boast in you alone.
With every breath I take, with every heartbeat, sunrise or the moonlight in a dark street, every glance, every dance, every note of a song, it's all a gift undeserved that I shouldn't have known. Every day that I lie, every moment I covet, I'm deserving to die, I'm just earning your judgment. Without the cross, there's only condemnation. If Jesus wasn't executed, there's no celebration. So in times that are good, in times that are bad, for any times that I've had it all, I will be glad. And I will boast in the cross, I'll boast in my pain. I will boast in the sunshine, boast in his rain. What's my life if it's not praising you? Another dollar in my bank account of vain pursuit. I do not count my life as any value or precious at all. Let me finish my race, let me answer my call. But it is, we swear. Think we holding our own, just a fistful of air. God has never been obligated to give us life. If we fought for our rights, we'd be in hell tonight. Mere sinners owe nothing but a fierce hand. We never loved him, we pushed away his fierce hand. I rejected his love, grace, kindness, and mercy. Dying of thirst, yet willing to die thirsty. Eternally worthy, how could I live for less? Patiently, you turn my heart away from selfishness. I volunteer for your sanctifying surgery. I know the Spirit's purging me of everything that's hurting me. Remove the veil from my darkened eyes. So now every morning I open your word and see the sunrise. I hope in nothing, boast in nothing, only in your suffering. I live to show your glory, dying to tell your story.
This life has anything to gain at all.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Father, we come to you thanking you and praising you, first of all, for another glorious opportunity to preach your word. Father, I need you to move me out of the way. Do what Psalm chapter 19, verse 14 says. Make the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. Amen and amen. Good morning, all Blog Talk Radio listeners all around this beautiful, beautiful world. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. You know, it's funny that we talk about smiling in the midst of a storm. Last time I preached, two months ago when I preached, because this week when I was on my way to my vocational program, I was sitting in my chair getting ready to leave to go to my program, and on my way out the door to go to my program, I said, Lord, I have to preach on Saturday. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to preach? And he didn't give me an answer. He didn't give me an answer on Tuesday. He didn't give me an answer all day Wednesday. But he finally gave me an answer at about 9 o'clock Thursday morning, while I was singing a song for karaoke. And the song that I was singing for karaoke at my vocational program was called Break Every Chain by Tasha Cobb Leonard. And the message that the Lord, the word that the Lord gave me during the time that I was singing that song at my vocational program was stay strong when you are in trouble. Stay strong in the Lord when you are in trouble. And the scripture that the Lord wanted me to use comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And it's quoted like this. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ that which strengthens me. See, church, as believers of Jesus Christ, we are definitely living in a world that is in trouble. But the good thing about us being believers in Jesus Christ is we have an advocate who is fighting our battles for us, even when we don't understand how our battles are getting fought. See, it says in Psalm chapter 46, verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength in times of trouble. We have an advocate that we can go to when we are facing the troubles of this life. And this advocate's name is Jesus. This advocate said, in this life, we're going to have trials and tribulations. But he told us to be of good cheer because he's overcome the world. Saints, we are living in a day and in a time where the world is facing trouble. But the good thing about being a body of believers is we know an advocate who can help us through our troubles that we're faced with. We have an advocate that we can go to and say, Lord, I'm weak in the midst of trouble. I need you. You are my refuge and my strength. Nehemiah 8 and 10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The best time to have joy in the Lord is when you are facing trouble, because it says in Nehemiah 8 and 10, it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. When a body of believers of Jesus Christ is facing trouble, we should not walk around acting like we are going to crumble under pressure. When trouble comes our way, that's the time to say, Lord, I don't have the strength. You when trouble comes their way, that's the time to say, Lord, I don't have the strength to get through this on my own. But if I stay strong in you during the trouble that I'm facing, I will get through it. Romans 8:37 says, you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. No matter what comes our way, saints, God wants us to know that we are stronger than the problem that we are faced with on a daily basis. The promise, the wind may blow, the breakers may dash, the lightning may flash, the thunder may roll, but we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We have the ability to stand strong when trouble comes because we are believers of the King. We are believers of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords lives and reigns inside of us. So there is nothing that we can't go through that God doesn't know about. There is nothing that we go through that God doesn't know about already. Psalm 34:1-2 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. When the body of believers of Jesus Christ is facing trouble, we shouldn't be walking around with negative attitudes about the trouble we're facing. Yes, the winds are gonna blow. Yes, the thunder is going to roll. Yes, the lightning will flash. But when we are faced with, when we are dealing with trouble in our lives, that's the time to say, Lord, you said, that's the time to say, Lord, you told us in Joshua 1:9 to be strong and very courageous. That's the time to say, Lord, you told us in 1 Samuel 30:6, you said, David was in great distress, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. When trouble comes our way, whether God allows us to go through trouble or whether we create the trouble that we're in by ourselves, we need to say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We need to say, we need to say, Lord, you said in Hebrews chapter 13 that I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am the same God yesterday, today, and forever. I will always be with you. We can say too many Christians crumble when trouble comes. And Jesus said in his word, in this life, you're going to have trials and tribulations. But he told us to be of good cheer because he's overcome the world. There is nothing that we go through that God doesn't know about before we go through it. Isaiah 26:3 says this, I will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind steadfast on me. Saints, when we are dealing with the troubles of life that we're dealing with, that's the time to say, Lord, I am going to keep my mind focused on you because you are going to help me get through what I'm dealing with. See, Genesis 50:20 says, what the devil meant for evil, God turned it around for our good. This earth will not be our home forever. But while we are on this earth, waiting to go to our forever home, we must stay strong when trouble comes. Because if we don't stay strong in the midst of trouble, other believers are going to think that we don't have power over the enemy. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I have given you power to walk on snakes and scorpions. And behold, I've also given you power to overcome every power of the enemy. Don't let the enemy cause you to crumble under the pressures of life. Because if you allow the enemy to cause you to crumble under the pressures of life, God will say, you don't believe me. You don't believe that I'm able to get you out of that valley. You don't believe that I'm able to fix your situation faster than you are able to fix it. God is telling, the word said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Saints, strength overpowers weakness. We can't afford to become weak when we are faced with the troubles of this life, because we are not going to be here forever. We are going to go home to our heavenly home. And before we go home, we got to show the world how to conquer the troubles of this life with an attitude of praise, with an attitude of strength. I've been a minister for the last 16 years. And when I first became a minister 16 years ago, I began preaching my first sermon right here on Blog Talk Radio in 2009. And I've had some opposition come my way. But what I did when that opposition came my way was I quoted in my head Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, which says this: I've learned how to be content in whatever situation that I'm in. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And you know, over the last wonderful 16 years, do you know God has helped me stay strong even when opposition came as far as my preaching ministry goes? That's one of the reasons why I preach the Word of God like I do, because I've been through the fire. I've literally seen people tell me I'm crazy for preaching, but God has helped me stay strong when trouble came my way about my preaching ministry. Saints, I'm going to tell you something. I've been through the fire for the last 35 years of my life, but you'll never know it because God has always helped me stay strong when trouble came my way. Even when my mother went home to be with the Lord, just 6 months before I started going to my vocational program called Paragon Support System. And mind you, my mother was the one who went with me on my tour to Paragon Support System. I had no idea that 6 months And 20 days later, I had no idea that she would be in heaven just 6 months and 20 days before I started attending my vocational program full time. Now, mind you, she was gone. The Lord took her home on January 26, 2015. I started Paragon, which is my vocational program, on July the 6th, 2015. I was still going, I was still dealing with the grief process. But the Lord kept me strong when trouble came my way. And you know why, you know how he did it? He told me, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Psalm 27:4 says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Saints, if you will delight yourself in the word of the Lord, when you are facing the trials of this life, there is nothing that you will, there is nothing that you will not conquer. There is nothing that you will not overcome. Stay strong in the Lord when trouble comes. Because the Bible says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength in times of trouble. Romans 8:28 says this, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to conquer the storm that you're in. Without faith, it's impossible to overcome that negative attitude that you have regarding the trouble that you are faced with. God said in Jeremiah 29:11, and it says this, for I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, plan to give you hope and peace. Plan not to harm you. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, call on me in the time of need, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things that haven't been done yet. Saints, what am I saying to you? You said, Pastor, you ask that all the time. I'm saying to you, no matter what comes your way, stand strong. Stand firm in the Lord when trouble comes. Because trouble is going to come your way, whether God allows it, whether the devil allows trouble to come your way, or whether you create the trouble that you're in. But in order to conquer the trouble that you are faced with, you have to remember to always be of good cheer and always stay strong and stay committed to your work when trouble comes. Stay committed to the kingdom work when trouble comes. I know it's not going to be easy, but if you do it with the Lord, nobody can stop you, because Joshua 1:9 says this: Be strong and very courageous, and nothing will harm you. Joshua 1:9 says, be strong and very courageous. Saints, when you, this week, whatever you are going to be faced with, remember this. Stand firm in the Lord. Stand strong in the Lord when trouble comes, because trouble is going to come, but it's all about how you look at God when trouble comes your way, whether God allows trouble to come or whether the devil allows trouble to come, or whether you create the trouble that you're in by yourself. It's all about your outlook. If you stand strong in the midst of trouble, you can conquer anything. But if you begin to crumble in the midst of trouble, you will never conquer anything. And God wants you to be able to, God wants you to be able to say, no matter what comes my way, I will stand firm and strong in the midst of trouble. I preached a message a while ago called Smile in the Midst of the Storm. Storms are going to come. There are going to be days where you're not going to want to get out of bed. But always remember this. God, greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world. God overpowers Satan. Remember that, saints. Don't let Satan cause you to crumble under the pressure of this life. our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the amazing opportunity for me to preach a word, because it was all you who said what you had to say through me, your servant. Father, I didn't preach a word so that I could get glorified. I preached a word in the way that you wanted me to preach a word so that you will get the worship, so that you will get the glory, so that you will get the praise. Father, if there's anything I forgot to say that you wanted me to say, turn it to my head and not my heart. Bring it back to my remembrance for the next time that I preach. Father, let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart once again be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. 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 And praise the Lord. Pastor Terrence, what an awesome, awesome word that you brought to us this morning. I'm actually going to, like, leave it where you left it. You dropped the mic, and I'm just going to leave it on the floor. I'm not going to kick it. I'm going to walk right on around it, and I'm going to leave it right where you left it. But just like you said, I mean, you said so much, but closing it out, just saying, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We need to remember that. We keep thinking that we are not overcomers, but Christ overcame everything. And when you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you, you automatically are an overcomer. So that was a great reminder to me that no matter what's going on, no matter what you're facing, no matter how hard times get, and they do get hard, you are an overcomer because Christ is in you, and he was an overcomer. So just the whole word was awesome. If you forgot to say anything, Lord have mercy. You said more than enough to leave us with an awesome word that can resonate with us in our spirit. So thank you so very much, Pastor Terrence Tate, for the wonderful word that you brought to us. Amen. It was great to hear your voice. And thank you for the time that you took to prepare the message and to bring it forth. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. Amen. It's the second Saturday in the month of July. Just so by way of a couple of announcements, Sunday, July 9th, that's already tomorrow. That's just crazy. Of course, we have our Sunday school class that begins at 9 a.m. with our teacher, Assistant Pastor Janice Tate. And continuing on, we will have our praise team leading us in song and worship as we proceed into our worship service that begins at 10 a.m. Pastor O will be bringing the word on tomorrow, so please come out and enjoy worship service with us. Bring someone out with you, amen, and just have a wonderful time in the Lord. So do not forget that we are at River Rouge High School in the LGI Auditorium. Again, Sunday school begins at 9 a.m., and our worship service begins at 10 a.m. Amen. Please excuse my voice, y'all. I'm sounding all types of today. just a reminder, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Wednesdays at 6 p.m., we have transitioned from our Monday Bible class, and it is now on Wednesday. So this Wednesday, July 12th, our Bible class is in full swing, okay, and has, again, transitioned to Wednesdays at 6 p.m. So we now have nothing going on Mondays, all right? So if you call in Blog Talk on Monday and the lady says you have no show scheduled within the next 24 hours, thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye. That means you didn't miss a class. We just have nothing on Monday. Okay? So make sure that you set yourself up with a reminder or whatever to listen to Bible class on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Again, it is in full swing. It begins at 6 p.m. here on Block Talk Radio. You do need a textbook for this class, and so if you plan to be in attendance, the books are available. It's not too late to get in. Just visit our church website, rfcm.org. Click on the Bible Classes tab to purchase the book. And just make sure to read the assignments before the class. The questions are at the end of the chapter for discussion. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I accidentally deleted a part out of my announcement. I believe Deaconess Loretta Welch is teaching the class this Wednesday. So again, PM, Blog Talk Radio, the new Bible class is in full swing. Make sure to get the book. If you got the book, answer the questions at the end of the chapter and be ready for discussion. Amen? Amen. Every Friday at 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with her show, Bring Back the Family. Please join in and comment on the discussion about our children. Please remember that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and best of all, they are free. Make sure to check out the church website, rfcm.org. Share it with others. Use it for yourself. Put the link out on your social media because, y'all, like I said, y'all know we click on links. We get a text message. We get an email thinking we're getting something. Click on this link, and we click on it, and before we know it, whatever's going on. But in this case, when you put rfcm.org out there, you planting the seed. Y'all know who's, only God knows who's going to click and get something from it. But you're planting that seed out there. So put that link out there. Like I said, share it with others. Use it for yourself. There's classes, services, an enormous amount of jobs on there. Okay? Books, resources, and more. Again, all for free, available for you and whoever else you share it with. Amen? If you would like to pay your tithes or give any offerings, go to our church website, rfcm.org, and just click on the tithes and offerings tab. If you would like to give a love offering to Pastor Terrence Chase, who brought the word today, please visit our church website, again, rfcm.org, and just click on the tithes and offerings tab. Remember to specify, this is for Pastor Terrence Chase, who preached on Saturday, and you can hit send, and then his offering will be on his way, and we will see to it that he receives it. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with him on today. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. In the same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. And so we know that eternal life, just like Pastor Terrence was talking today, earth is not our home. It is not our final destination. We are essentially just passing through. We're here. People talk about aliens all the time. I believe that we as Christians are the aliens that people are talking about. They're just seeing it differently than we are. We are not from here. Okay? We're just, again, passing through. Our home is in heaven with our Father. So we're here as spiritual beings covered in skin to do what we got to do, be about God's business. When it's time for us to go home, we go right on back home. Amen. So eternal life in heaven, not on earth, in heaven, hinges on your belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is amazing to me how so many people, just reading social media, just seeing a simple post on Instagram or whatever, you have so many people who may say something about God or Jesus. You know, people say God all the time. You could be talking about a picture frame, a bottle of perfume, a top on the ketchup bottle, because people see God as a lot of different things, okay? God is a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But it's when you speak the name of Jesus, okay, that it's clear that you're talking about God, our Father in heaven. So So when I see posts on social media and people say something about God or say something about Jesus, the volume of people that attack that one comment is astronomical. There are so many people out there who do not believe in Jesus. They're just here. Like, they just showed up on earth, and they're just here doing whatever. The volume of people who don't believe in Jesus is astronomical. But there are no do-overs, okay? When this life is over for you and you stand before the Father, that's it, okay? So Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, period. So there is no relationship with the Father without the Son, and there is no receipt of the Holy Spirit without accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, which is your immediate household today, Judea, which is your immediate community today, Samaria, which is outside of your community and comfort zone to people in places you wouldn't normally associate with or even go to, and to the ends of the earth." And this is people in places that you would never be around or never go to. But guess what? They need the word of God as well. Amen. And Blog Talk is doing just that, getting in the nooks and crannies of every single place where we might not be able to physically go. Blog Talk Radio, this word, these services, for all of what we've been doing on here for all of these years, is going around the world. Like Pastor O said last week, if you got internet, if you got a Wi-Fi connection, if you got cell phone or some type of an electronic device, you can access Blog Talk Radio and get these words. Amen. So these words are going out, and everybody across the world is getting to them. Amen. So, again, people all over the world need the word of God, and it is our job to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Amen. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. Okay, that lets you know right there is one or the other. You either got heaven or you got hell. And the word says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, not people. But we know that ultimately some people, when their time is up on this earth, will end up in eternal torment. And people take it as a joke. It's not a joke. The more you look at the news, the more you see stuff going on, there's nothing new under the sun. But for us, in our time and in our space, it just seems like things are getting worse and worse and worse, and that's because they are. And Pastor O has said a long time ago, and I'll never forget it, God is not fixing what we've got going on this earth. Okay, he is preparing us and telling us that our time is coming up for us to get up out of here. So we have a responsibility to do what he wants us to do. Amen. And so life is short. God is not bound by time, but we are. We feel like if we're here 80, 90, 100 years, that we have been here a long time. To God, that's a millisecond. Okay, for us, it seems like a long time because we are in time. But for God, there's nothing. God is not bound by time, but we are. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." John chapter 14, verse 3, "I am going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me where I am." And that I is Jesus. Amen. So it is really important that people understand that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Amen. The volume of people who, again, do not believe in Jesus Christ is astronomical. We have work to do. Amen. Amen. So continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. We are asking prayers for Elder Joseph Stevens, who is recuperating at home. Please keep him and his wife Cheryl in prayer. She's in the hospital, so please keep their family lifted up in your thoughts and in your prayers. Please continue to pray for Deaconess Nicole Seabrook. Again, she completed her chemo treatments. Amen. But pray for her as she approaches her upcoming radiation treatment. Mother Persia's grandson, Aaron Pearson, was rushed into emergency surgery this morning. So please keep him and his family lifted up in prayer. Continue to pray for Deaconess Lisa Thornton, Nico Gasson, Doris Gaither, Brother Ed Johnson, Darius Freeman, and Keela Freeman, his mom, who will be having surgery in August. All of our caregivers, nurses, aides, and doctors everywhere. Pray for all of our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, Mother Irma, and Mother Persia. Again, continue to pray for our government and all of the leaders of our country and our communities and those who have the rule over us. Pray for all bereaved, grieving, and mourning families everywhere. Continue to please pray for the family of Clinton Cooper, especially his wife, Gwen. Amen? Amen. It's a new month. It's the month of July. Happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners who celebrated this past week or who will be celebrating this month. Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon kicked it off with her birthday on the 1st, Clifton Davis on the 2nd, Hunter on the 4th. Malachi Freeman is celebrating his birthday today. Yours truly and my birthday buddy Logan will be celebrating on the DeAndra and Isaiah on the 14th. Our favorite Vice President, Demetrius Cowan, as well as Ryan, will be celebrating on the 16th. Baby Gia, oh my gosh, she's so cute and cuddly. She will be celebrating her first birthday on the 18th. Deaconess Nicole Seabrook on the 19th. And Deaconess Lisa Thornton will be closing us out with her birthday on the 21st. So again, happy, happy birthday to each and every one of you. Amen? Amen. And last but not least is your devotional for today, which is entitled, excuse me, Do You Notice the Faces of People? This is by Pastor Jeff Shreve. You guys know I like to read his devotionals every Saturday because we have the time and they're longer. Amen. So, again, do you notice the faces of people? And it reads as follows. When Joseph came to them in the morning and observed them, behold, they were dejected. He asked Pharaoh's officials who were with him in confinement in his master's house, why are your faces so sad today? Genesis chapter 40, verses 6 through 7. Excuse me. Do you know the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis? It is an awesome story of God's sovereignty. Excuse me, I was going to say sovereignty, but I don't even know if that extra, a couple extra consonants belong. Sovereignty, God's sovereignty, and Joseph's integrity and unwavering faith. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery. As a slave, he was falsely accused of the crime of attempted rape. The truth was, his master's wife had a thing for Joseph. When he rebuffed her advances, she vindictively told her husband that Joseph tried to rape her. As a result of those false charges, he went from being enslaved to being imprisoned. Could life get any worse? Through it all, he continued to trust God and serve him, even though it was hard to do in that dirty, smelly, slimy pit known as an Egyptian prison. One day, some special inmates arrived, Pharaoh's butler and baker. For some reason, they got on Pharaoh's bad side, and he threw them in the prison for a memorable timeout. One day, Joseph, who had been made the number one trustee because of his faithfulness and responsibility, noticed that something was wrong with these two men. Their faces were sad. The fact that he noticed their countenance really struck me one day as I read the biblical account in the book of Genesis. Here is Joseph, a man who has been cheated, mistreated, used, and abused, yet he did not pout, sulk, and wallow in self-pity and bitterness. He trusted God and served others. He didn't focus on himself, but he focused on his fellow inmates. He noticed that the two new guys were especially disconsolate, D-I-S-C-O-N-S-O-L-A-T-E, in case I didn't pronounce it right, just Google it. Amen. Joseph took the time to really look at faces. He saw the concerns of people as those concerns were revealed in their countenance. As I read that, I thought about all the times I get so caught up in my own world and my own to-do list that I miss the faces of people all around me. How many are struggling with guilt, pain, loss, fear, or doubt? How many people are sad and desperately in need of a nod of encouragement, a touch of concern, or a word from the Lord to remind them that he knows and he cares? Perhaps you are like me and easily get so caught up in your own responsibilities, pressures, and personal or family problems that you forget you are on planet Earth to be a blessing to others and bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. That is Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Would you ask the Lord to make you sensitive and observant of the people you encounter each day? would you make it your practice to really look at the faces of the people you encounter on a daily basis? Perhaps they are carrying a burden that you could lighten. The old adage is surely true. People do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. Let's practice caring for people as we notice them, speak to them, and encourage them in the Lord. God wants to use us to be Jesus with skin. And like I always say, we are a bunch of little mini Jesuses running around here, amen, to a lost and hurting world. Will you take the challenge to be the ambassador of heaven that the Lord has saved you to be? Remember, just like Pastor Terrence Tate said, greater is he that is in me in you than that who is in the world. Amen. So if you believe in Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit in you, you are an overcomer and you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Amen. Amen. And those are announcements and possibly a mini sermon. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, okay, possibly. Yeah, okay, possibly. Possibly.
Yeah, we don't want to put the official stamp of approval on that.
Okay.
So we're going to say possibly.
See, I was almost through finishing out your license until you said possibly. I'm like,
possibly,
okay, she got
yeah.
me. She got me.
Yes. Amen.
I was just waiting. Yeah, next time you say that's my mini sermon,
official.
I'm going to hand you a license.
No, sir. That's why
the
word.
You are in. We'll be ordaining you next week.
Ooh,
you have given evidence. You've given evidence of the preaching
Ooh.
Gift in you. Okay.
Lord.
Yeah, that's
what
the
nightmare.
License is, that you've given evidence.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
We got to change
had
the word
license. You almost had that license, then you said possibly. I said, okay,
possibly,
she got
that's
me.
Right. I got to cover
got
myself. CYA, CYA, CYA.
She's saying cover your animals because it's raining.
That's right, because it's raining outside. You got to be mindful. Don't get them wet.
Ooh,
Jesus. Lord, have mercy. Help, Lord.
Oh, what are we doing?
These kind of people running for Christ turn out. That, nothing. You got to end service. You're going to give them the benediction, and that's going to be it.
I'm telling you.
Like,
amen. Really? Can we get a benediction? I want to go on. But you at
Jesus.
Home.
At home.
Okay.
That's right. Ooh, amen.
Okay.
Amen, yes.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
All right. You holler at me today, tell him I said what's up.
Absolutely. I sure will.
All right. Be blessed, my sister. Love you.
You too. Love you too.
Bye-bye. Hey, man, we thank God for each and every one of you tuning in. I know y'all hear me say that every week, but we really do. Now, that song I played before Pastor Terrence really preached today, I got to thank God for his steadfastness. And yes, he wasn't telling you no stories. He's been around since 09 here on Blog Talk Radio. He got more seniority here on Blog Talk Radio. Then Crystal comes after him, but Terrence got more seniority than anybody else because he was the first preacher that started helping me to preach here in this venue, and I thank God for him. And I'm telling you, he will definitely encourage you. And see, You're probably like, yeah, well. But if you saw that he was in a wheelchair, okay, if you saw that he had cerebral palsy, you'd probably be thinking that you could do a whole lot more than what you're doing. Amen. He encourages me every time I see him. If he can praise God like he does, like ain't even nothing happened, and here I am over here upset because I woke up and my eye acted funny. You know, no. His whole body act funny, but he still have a hearty praise for God, and I like that. That encourages me every single day. Amen. I was talking with his dad one day, and his dad brought something to pay. I was talking about, you know, his world. But see, for Terrence, his life is not strange to him because it's been his life. It just looks strange to us. But to him, that's normality. But he rises so. I heard this word in a cartoon I was watching one day, and it was called handy capable. You're talking about somebody who that title fits. He is very handy capable. I wouldn't say handicapped. He handy capable. Okay? I'm going to have to get him that moniker right there. So thank God for him. Of course, my girl, D. Speaking of Kathy Clyburn, you should have tuned into her show last night. God Almighty. It was like I thought I was listening to Oprah or these people who come on with these talk shows because her and her co-host, Jackie Vandegrift and Rebecca Johnson, they just talked about what's available for our young people, what we're going to do for our young people, the urgency to help our young people. And I was enthralled, if that's even a word. But anyway, they held my attention from beginning to end. It was like I was listening to a talk show. And I listened to, heard every word. And, of course, I come in at the end to give a biblical perspective or account or whatever. Okay, but it was awesome. Should have tuned in. Thank God for her. Thank God for our scripture reader today. Amen. And who was that? Who was our scripture reader today? Deaconess Loretta Welch. So thank God for her. And I mean Deaconess, amen, Mary Tate. She was our scripture reader for today. Okay. And our scripture, our altar caller was Sir Charles Tate. Amen. Deacon Sir Charles Tate. I love saying that. You're going to get me tomorrow, though. But anyway, Deacon Sir Charles Tate, appreciate you. Amen. Of course, preacher to our Pastor Terrence Tate and all of you who tune in and listen, and Crystal, who keeps us aware of what's going on at Runner for Christ. And what's and you got to love that devotional, because that sets you off for the next week. Amen. Amen. But anyway, I was hanging out with Jesus this morning. Oh, the song that I played before Pastor Terrence preached was by Anthony. Well, it's by Lecrae. It's called Boasting, but it's by Lecrae, but it features Anthony Evans, Dr. Tony Evans' son. He is the one that does the vocals, and Cray, of course, does the rap. So that's who that was. Now, I was hanging out with Jesus this morning, and I was feeling kind of really crappy, okay? Just couldn't get my head straight at all. It was just crappy. And so he started talking to me like he always does, you know, bringing this scripture, that scripture, this one, and, you know, kind of none of it was working. Even though it works, I just wouldn't receive it. Okay, I guess I wanted to feel crappy. But then he know I love music. And somehow I ended up on YouTube, and somehow I ended up at these people I don't even know. And this little boy, I guess he's somewhere between, look to be 10 and 15, something like that. And he's the lead on this song. He does the hook. Okay? And I am telling you, it just completely changed my day, changed my outlook. And then Terrence, with his sermon, he didn't know I was feeling crappy, but he sure preached me out of it. Amen. But this song right here, it's called Lift His Name. And I'm telling you, the lead singer, if you saw him, you'd be like, Jesus, that's a little boy. Amen. But, oh, his devotion to Jesus at that age is what Deaconess Kathy Clyburn and was talking about last night, getting it into the kids. And this did my heart so much good to see that there are those of this generation. What are they, Z? Because this is the end of the thing. They're Z? Oh, some of them love Jesus. Listen to this song. God bless you. God keep you. Uh-oh, my wife say, she ain't even here. And I heard her say, do the benediction. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all until we all meet again. And the whole church said, amen. I hope you enjoy this song.
Trying to be ill will make a deep down seat.
persistence, my inconsistencies and everything that stopped my mission. I'm so obsessed with me and what I'm getting, that times I miss what you've been telling me and what's your vision. I can't even see the bigger picture if my name ain't mentioned. That's not my plan at all. At times I fall to selfishness. I'm helpless if your spirit ain't with me. I need your help in this. Get so consumed in what I don't got that I missed the mark. I'm being transparent with you. At least we have a start. Confess my sins to you. I hope that's what my friends will do. Without you, I'm just filthy rags, dirt on my Timberland boots. I preach it so you hear the truth and know you're not alone. 10 years saved and I still battle issues that I thought were gone. That's why I trust in you. I need you. I'm in love with you. I seek your face. I praise your name. I'll never get enough of you. That's why I trust in you. I need you. I'm in love with you. I seek your face. I praise your name. I'll never get enough of you. Yeah.
Thank you for your mercy, and I ask forgiveness for all the people that hurt me. My lack of living water really had me thirsty, but now my thirst is quenched, so I pray for the ones that curse me. How could I not recognize that missing you was an issue? Tough times was hard to get through without wanting to use a pistol, but now I understand the battle wasn't for me, and that the blood of Jesus Christ is running through me, and that the dirty devil's coming, he's gunning for me, but I got the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he's one in the three. That's why I lift his name up. Don't care about being famous. How could you really blame us? Jesus is the one who changed us. I thank him every day, hour, minute, even second. I'm tearing giants down. Excuse me, Mr. Odell Beckham.
When I go with the Heavenly Father, I'm giving you all of me, God. Give it your bra, cut from the jump, cause you never left once. I can never repay you, I can never come close, but I praise you. Wanna thank you for the grace and the grace and the payment, for the faith and the favor.
This is why I carry out the call for the lost, reaching, teaching people, leading to the cross, yeah. Give you all my time that you bought, you the boss, you the reason I'm redeeming my ball, yeah. Praise you even when I'm going through it. God told me, go, and that's the reason why I'm gon' do it. Lifting up my palms to the one who the throne, who the steady, who the fade on the cross.
The enemy can't even attack from the back, cause I'm giving it back to the Father whenever I can't handle the back. Go past the man, go sad is that. Blessed to me that I need him more than I need anything else in the whole world. No pearls compared to the poor world stored elsewhere.